Hello, and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about the industry's legislative efforts. And here to talk about that, we're lucky to have the Senior Vice President of Public Policy for the American Association for Home Care, Jay Witter. Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
It's always a pleasure. I love talking to everybody at AA Home Care. You and Laura and Kim and Tom, every time I talk to you guys, you're just whatever is going on in your wheelhouse, you guys have it. You guys have like all the information stem to stern. So it's great to have you on. Let's dive in. There is a bill that is currently sort of in the, I guess, the industry's advocacy spotlight, and that is HR 6641. Let's talk about that a little bit. What is it? What problems does it solve? How does it help providers?
Well, so thank you. And the industry in AA Home Care have been dealing with competitive bidding and its problems for many, many years. I've been at the association for 13 years. It was an ill-conceived, ill-designed program that has been stopped three times now and tried to redesign it and make it work. And it's caused problems. Initially, when I first started, it was problems in the first round of competitive bidding, the second round, but then it was expanded to non-competitive bidding areas, which is something is a priority for us as well. But then we see it trickle down to Medicaid and third-party payers. And so the current bill addresses a reimbursement problem that stems from CMS pausing the competitive bidding program. Originally in 2018, it paused the program. It acknowledged design flaws. We met with the secretary, deputy secretary, CMS administrator, the White House, and had really good discussions about the problems with competitive bidding and how to fix it. We'll try to fix it. And so the one problem we had in 2018 when they paused the program is they decided to use the flawed reimbursement rates from 2016. So they acknowledged that the program had failed, but they used those flawed reimbursement rates. Now, it was only supposed to be for 2 years. So we worked with CMS and HHS to redesign the program and have it start again in 2021 with more sustainable reimbursement rates, more realistic market-driven reimbursement rates.
And that was with the lead item pricing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the clearing price. They took a lot of our recommendations in the redesign. We work closely with CMS on educating the industry on how to properly bid. We were expecting those rates to go higher because of the smart bidding. And in late 2020, CMS decided to pull 13 of the 15 categories out of competitive bidding, which was good news during a pandemic. We want all the providers to take care of their patients. Unfortunately, CMS decided to continue to use those flawed rates in 2016 that were 50-60% off the Medicare fee schedule. Those rates would have been too low prior to the pandemic, but the pandemic has exacerbated the situation. Supply chain issues, raw material costs, PPE costs, So costs have skyrocketed. Our folks can't increase prices because of the Medicare fee schedule. So we work closely with Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is the ranking member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee that has jurisdiction over this issue. She's helped us in the past. She's been a great champion. And she developed legislation along with the committee that would provide additional relief in those competitive bidding areas for those 13 items that were pulled out of competitive bidding programs. So the legislation, we evaluated a number of different options on how to improve the reimbursement rates. And the one that made the most policy sense and also the cost, we had to make sure the cost wasn't too high because the discussions would have died instantly. was a 90-10 blended rate for those competitive bidding programs, which is 90% competitive bidding rates and 10% of the traditional Medicare fee schedule. That will result in an average of about 9% increase. And so that's what we worked on. And the legislation would provide those that increase for those items until the next round of competitive bidding, which is 2024. So it's 2 years of relief. If CMS decides to continue the pause, we've talked to our champions and we'll reevaluate continuing that. But we wanted to be very focused, and we also wanted to contain the cost so it increases the chance of the legislation passing.
Got it. The temporariness of it is it means that nothing's exactly set in stone, that it can get tweaked later on. And so lawmakers would be more amenable to something like that. Is right. That sort of the idea?
Yeah. Now, members of Congress always want certainty. There is no certainty with the competitive bidding program. We're not sure what CMS plans to do in the future. There are different options. They could stop the program. They could try to make changes. We're urging Congress to make sure that they don't take away the guardrails that we've put in place to make the situation worse. We also have talked to Congress and to CMS about if they do move forward, the prices should be able to go up. And if the prices can't go up, if CMS won't allow that, then we'll talk to members of Congress on a more permanent solution. So this is a very focused, targeted effort to get our folks through to the next round. We should know in the coming months what CMS plans to do. But this is something that we can expand upon if necessary, or once CMS decides the future competitive bidding, we can change to make sure providers get sustainable rates to stay in business and take care of their patients.
Does, in addition to the 90-10 rate, does it do anything separate for providers in rural areas?
Very good question. So no, the legislation is very targeted.
Okay.
But an equal priority for AA home care is those non-competitive bidding area rates. We worked with the House and Senate in 2020 to provide a 75-25% blended rate for rural areas, or a 50-50 blended rate for rural areas, and a 75-25% blended rate for non-rural, non-CB areas throughout the public health emergency. So currently, providers are getting this relief, and we're working with the administration and Congress on the length of the public health emergency, but that's been going on since March 2020. So we have worked with that, but we're very concerned about what the reimbursement rates are in those areas after the public health emergency, because the cost increases aren't going to just go away. We're going to have that for, you know, a year or two at least after. So we're working now with, you know, Senator Thune, who is the original author of the CARES Act provision, and the Senate Finance Committee, to extend those rates, particularly the 75-25% blended rate in non-rural areas, for at least a year or two after the public health emergency. CMS, in their latest rule, have continued the 50-50 blended rate for rural areas in a rule, so that is safe for at least another year. But we're focusing to make sure that 75-25% blended rate continues.
Got it. Okay, so you guys are kind of, you're spinning a lot of plates, but these are probably your two primary plates here.
Right, and we see it as you know, both are equally as important. There's different strategies in the House. We have a bill for the competitive bidding rate relief. In the Senate, our champion and the Committee of Jurisdiction have told us a bill isn't necessary. This strategy was successful in 2020, getting the original provision signed into law. So we're relying on our champions. And then ultimately what the goal would be is to have both items included in a larger Medicare package moving through Congress. So The House is focusing on competitive bidding relief, and the Senate is focusing on non-competitive bidding area relief.
Wow. Okay. So so the Senate one is you said that does not require legislation.
The Senate effort originally provided the 50-50 blended rate in rural areas and the 75-25% blended rate in non-rural areas. CMS, in the rule that was released late last year, used their authority to continue the rural relief on its own. Mm-hmm. So the legislation we're working on just focuses on the 75-25% blended rate for non-rural, non-CB areas.
And that's, you know, let's kind of break it down for the listeners, because I think that everybody kind of has that Schoolhouse Rock. I'm dating myself. And this was me for a long time, that, you know, everybody thinks the legislative process is okay, you have a bill, it gets floated in the House, it gets approved in the House, it goes to the Senate, it gets approved in the Senate. And then the president, you know, once both chambers sign, upvote it, then the president decides to sign it into law or veto it. But that's not the case. There's a lot of procedural methods for getting legislation passed. Legislative language could get boiled into larger bills, all sorts of things. Maybe you could kind of explain to the audience why it's important to understand that, and why it is possible to have the House working on one thing and the Senate working on another, and those two things can still advance.
Right. And you know, I was a big fan when I was a kid of the Schoolhouse Rock, and, you know, Bill, and I'll be honest, in my civics class in high school and in college, you know, I focused on political science. We were taught that a bill is introduced. There is a hearing for the bill. There is a markup of that bill. The House passes legislation, the Senate passes legislation, it's reconciled in conference and then sent to the president.
Yeah.
That rarely happens. Really, at this moment, I can't remember the last time that's really happened.
You do this for a living.
You know, and co-sponsors are a very important tool, but it's not the only deciding factor. I've seen bills that have no co-sponsors that get included. I've seen bills that have 350 co-sponsors and not move.
Yeah.
So it's just not that one component. I look at it, and I've said this many, many times in the past, it's not Schoolhouse Rock in Washington. It's more the golden rule, but it's not the golden rule that everybody thinks about. In Washington, the golden rule is whoever has the gold rules. Yeah. So if you have support of the committees, and you have a champion that is driving the issue, and the House and Senate leadership support it, they can include a bill without a hearing, without it being introduced. We saw that with our Senate efforts with Senator Thune. We worked with him on a provision to provide relief to non-CB areas. They decided not to do a bill. And we got about 3 days warning that a bill was coming and that we needed to, you know, tighten up the language and get it ready to go. And within 3 days, it was included in the bill. And, it was signed into law within a week. But that, you know, took, you know, almost over a year's worth of work behind the scenes. So, you know, what we're doing with both, but particularly HR 6641, it is very important for your listeners to contact their members of Congress about co-sponsors, because I said it is an important tool, but at A Home Care, we're working the grass top. So we're working with the committees of jurisdiction and the leadership to get that bill prepared and that they support it, because the final decision on these big bills usually comes down to four people. The House and, you know, the House Speaker, the minority leader in the Senate, it's the majority leader and minority leader, they make the final decision. And so we're working to clear that path and look for any opportunity. There may be, you know, something that develops, you know, in 4 to 6 weeks, or it could be towards the end of the year. We have to be prepared. And in the House, the important thing for your listeners is to get co-sponsors and get the discussion going about how tough things are on the ground in the districts, that these prices are unsustainable, and that they are causing, you know, barriers to care.
Gotcha. So if anybody out there in the audience wants to help the industry's advocacy's efforts, the main way they can do that is through encouraging their lawmaker, their representative, to be a co-sponsor of HR 6641.
Yes, and we try to make it easy. You know, some people, some of our members do this a lot, and some of our members have never done it before. You can go to our website. It's www.aahomecare.org. You can look for the alert section, the grassroots alert section. You can click on that. There is information there. You can type in your zip code and we'll tell you who your House of Representative is. We have sample language for an email. And then you can send an email from that grassroots site to your member of Congress. And it's extremely helpful. I deal with the Hill every single day, but I cannot tell the story with the same, detail and passion as our members can. So we have to work as a team. I can get to the member of Congress, but our members really have to make that connection and tell them exactly what's going on today, the problems that they're experiencing. And that's how we've been successful in the past, working with our state leaders, working with our grassroots folks, courting that effort, giving as much information, making that, passionate plea for relief so we can help our patients has been successful in the past. And that's what we need to do this year.
And you mentioned members can do this and non-members can as well. Those online resources are available to anybody out there in the industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need everybody's help. This is the only way we can be successful. You know, we've been successful in the past with having everybody, members, non-members. Of course, we would appreciate everybody's help by becoming a member. And our members, their help and resources, allow me to go up on Capitol Hill every day and fight for, additional relief. But to your point, anybody can go to our website and click on the grassroots action section.
And then on the Senate stuff, that's really more you guys working that. There's not a lot that providers currently can do, or should they be calling the senator's office? What should happen on that side of things?
Right. So that's a bit more, tricky. And that's why A Home Care is here to kind of navigate that. But in the Senate, it's important for providers to tell their senators and the staff, the issues that are going on. They need to know that this was a crisis before, that these non-competitive bidding area, the relief is necessary to continue. Talk about PPE costs and supply chain issues. But you can also mention, the legislation in the House, HR 6641. There's not a Senate companion, and that's just a strategy our champions have followed. But certainly, you can talk about the challenges in competitive bidding areas and that additional relief will be necessary, because that story is necessary. So when a large bill comes through, we're going to need the support for both issues by House and Senate leadership. So it's not as easy in the Senate by saying, well, can you co-sponsor this bill? But you can certainly talk about the issue and ask that office weigh in with the Senate Finance Committee or their respective leadership, whether it's the majority or minority.
Okay, so there's two irons or plates spinning, and I mentioned that you have lots of them. And that's not just on the legislative side. You guys are also doing regulatory stuff with Kim and payer relations stuff and Medicaid stuff with Laura. And in other words, you guys are working on a lot of different fronts. You guys are going to be talking about them at the home care update that's coming up at MedTrade West. When's that happening? And if people are going to be at MedTrade West, where can they see it?
Well, I look forward to seeing some of the some of your listeners at MedTrade West. Our AA Home Care update is on Tuesday, April 5th at 10 a.m. It's in the South Ballroom. If you have any questions or you know, you can contact the, you know, us and at MedTrade, or you can email me. But what we'll do is we have Tom Ryan, CEO and president and CEO, giving an update of you know, the current situation with the industry, our PR efforts, coordinating efforts with outside organizations to kind of strengthen our voice, the future of competitive bidding. Then Kim Brummett, she's our VP of Regulatory Affairs. I work very closely with Kim because our issues, our Medicare issues, have a legislative and a regulatory component. And we have to team up. You know, if she needs help on regulatory, then I help with the Hill. If I need technical information or if I need CMS, you know, pressure, I ask her for help. So she'll provide an update about her efforts to protect, you know, the guardrails in competitive bidding, but also our planning for the future of competitive bidding if it moves forward. She's really on top of the audits, you know, because of the public health emergencies, they've held off on a number of audits. We're very concerned that once, you know, the public health emergency is over, that there's going to be a flood of audits, and our folks are still going to be, you know, flooded with work and taking care of patients. So we're trying to work with CMS to mitigate that. So she'll give an update on that. Laura, she's the VP of Payer Relations, will give an update. She works really hard. You know, Laura and David Chandler work very hard on state legislation. They work on, you know, the rate floor legislation, Medicaid issues. But she also works with the major payers on some of the policies that, you know, if there's some bad policy, you know, Laura's right on top of it. Or if there's ways we can work with payers to make things better, mm-hmm. she's on top of that. She'll give you the latest. She's, you know, David and Laura are very busy. So I think it's a good opportunity, and certainly asking questions. I always appreciate these presentations because I hear from folks, and a lot of times new issues come up, and then I can work with Tom Ryan and AHOM Care leadership to see what we can do to remedy those challenges.
Well, and of course you'll be talking as well, and you know, I've for the past few, I've had the pleasure of being able to kind of moderate a panel discussion of you guys during the updates. And that's been a real pleasure for me because you guys always offer up a ton of information at these things. And I can't encourage people in the audience out there, if you're going to be at MedTrade West, definitely check it out. And if you're going to be at MedTrade East, to go check out the AA Home Care updates, because every time we do these things, it's just it's a font of really good information. It helps anybody in the industry kind of be aware of key issues that are going to impact their businesses. I can't encourage people enough to go check it out. And Jay, again, that's going to be when and where?
It's going to be Tuesday, April 5th at 10 a.m. And it's the South Ballroom. And I will say it's always a pleasure working with you on these presentations. They always turn out really well. And I think a key component is your knowledge of the issue you're talking about. And so I think the questions and kind of the points you make really bring out a lot of good dialogue. And then the questions with the audience, I think it's a really good opportunity for folks to learn more. And you know, it's always a challenge for our communications department to kind of put together the PowerPoint for that, because our issues change minute by minute. And yeah, a number of times, you know, sometimes it's rude, but sometimes I check my phone during the presentation and I'm getting updates from the Hill, and folks that are out in the audience are getting the latest information possible from on legislative or regulatory issues.
That's true. I remember a couple, there's been at least one or two times where we've been talking and you've given the audience like a literally breaking update from the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it may seem rude. I'm not checking my Twitter account because I don't have any of that stuff, but I tried to give, you know, the providers, manufacturers, the audience, the latest information. And then it's a good dialogue. People can ask technical questions. They can, possibly discuss solutions that they see in their areas, and then we can evaluate it and move forward.
Got it. Okay. Well, again, I encourage everybody to check it out. And I can't, you mentioned the audience Q&A portion, and that really is a great part of it. Because after every speaker gives their, I will interview you, and then people get it, and I'm asking you questions, and then the audience gets a chance to ask questions, and then we'll switch to Kim, and I'll be asking Kim some questions, and then the audience gets a chance to ask questions, and so there's multiple opportunities for people in the audience to find out exactly what they want to know. And you've got some of the best experts in the industry sitting there on the stage. So I love that program. Okay. And then of course, we're talking about getting involved. It's important for folks in the industry to support the association. Jay, how can they do that? Joining up?
Absolutely. So there are a number of ways that the industry can support AA Home Care. And I think it's really important. When I first started, there wasn't a lot of cooperation in the industry. I think through the challenges and the leadership of the association through Tom and the board and the executive committee, I think everybody has come together, whether it's large providers, large manufacturers, or small. I think all the challenges remain the same, and everybody has come together. So obviously, becoming a member of AA Home Care is extremely important. It provides us the resources for me to go up on the Hill. It provides the resources for Kim to fight the regulatory battles, and certainly Laura and David on the state level. And because of the support of our members, we have had significant wins over the last 2 years. I think we just ran the numbers. The relief that we got back, it's over $2 billion. So the investment for providers is a great return. Our focus is to help providers and manufacturers grow their business and make more money. Some of those efforts are global issues like HR 6641. But we also help our individual members on specific issues they're having. So we think it's a great investment. We want to make sure, we're on the list. We know the challenges, the economic challenges for providers and manufacturers, and we want to produce. We want to help you. So we're always on the list of groups that the industry supports. So. And then otherwise, you can help us through the grassroots. We have a grassroots action center. You can become a grassroots advocate for your member of Congress, or just simply send information to your members of Congress. Would it be extremely helpful to me?
All right. Well, Jay, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person in Phoenix, and I really appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a great time. And if folks have questions or if they have input, they can always contact me. My email is jaywatahomecare.org. I appreciate all you do, David, and I appreciate the providers and manufacturers, what you do every single day, and we're there to help you, like I said, not only continue your business, but help you grow your business and be successful.
All right. Well, thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that'll wrap things up for this episode of the podcast. Thanks again to Jay for giving us that update on those important legislative initiatives.
If you haven't already, please make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. If you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, the best way to do that is to subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And sometimes it comes out more often than once a week. You can do that at hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business. And you can, if you've got any, suggestions or requests or direct feedback you want to leave me, you can email me at D as in David, K-O, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like the industry's current legislative initiatives.
But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.